And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And it's great to be back together in the studio. We keep missing each other. I was in Russia last week, and you were, I don't know what you were doing.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I never know what Dan is up to. But anyway, let's just jump into our top story.
Yeah,
here.
And Handsome has got a great list. And actually, this was, you know, one of those things that was actually published on ASP.net, but it's what not to do in ASP.net.
Anti-patterns.
Anti-patterns. Right, so this is stuff from like don't turn off your view state or view state Mac so that you can be susceptible to cross-site scripting. Don't do for controls, use CSS adapters, just use regular CSS. Don't inline your CSS. When you do use view state, don't turn it off for the entire page. It's okay for some times to use view state, like maybe you want to use it on data grid refreshes or something like that. Don't do it, turn it off for the whole page and then turn it on for each individual control that you want to.
Right, so this is a great, not only a post, but a great video where Damian Edwards presented this topic. And so this
right.
is based on, what is it, 12 years now of ASP.NET being out there and watching how customers use it and sometimes misuse it.
And also sometimes things change, right? So like the way they do callbacks obviously has evolved to do things, you know, you name the technology, whether it's SignalR or Ajax to do those callbacks now instead of the old .NET 2 way.
Right, right.
So, cool stuff.
Great. And so this is a great article by Gay. She's over on the .NET Framework team, and she talks about .NET Framework 4.5.1, and so she gives a recap, end-to-end overview of everything that's in there. Obviously, this has been out for a little while, but if you're new to it, it's a good way to come up to speed. But she also points out the importance of NuGet packages, which is a way that they're delivering a lot of the assemblies now that come as part of the .NET Framework.
Yes.
So what are the implications of that? How do you take advantage of that in your application and prepare for, you know, new versions of those NuGet assemblies in the future? So just a really good article in MSDN Magazine that covers that end-to-end.
Yeah, very cool. Channel 9 highlights. So Lucian, if we talked about it before, had three tips on async previously, and now he's done another three. So this series is called Three Essential Tips, and now they're up to tip six.
All right.
So this one, again, you're going to want to look at this, but things like an async library, that library should, if it says it's async, it should really be async. Don't just lie about it and do things synchronously.
Mm.
There's no reason to. Then it talks about some other optimizations you can do. Make sure that your APIs are chunky in terms of the actual operation that they're doing, that it makes sense to do it in an async operation and so forth.
Chunky meaning like by batch? Or
yeah, so like if you're going to do, like instead of doing like five small things, think about ways that you could maybe do it one large thing.
Right.
And just a number of other tips. So definitely watch the videos. They're probably about 15 minutes each. Definitely good stuff.
Yeah, and some of the hot rated content on Channel 9 from the past. So it's good to see that we now have six top three tips, however that works. So this is an article by Kenny Kerr, also in MSDN Magazine, and he talks about the implications that you as a developer should be aware of when you're writing applications that need to take advantage of high DPI. And so he talks about some of the maybe finer points of DPI and the fact that you can have multiple DPI settings per monitor, and so you should be aware of that in your application. And you can also subscribe to events so that when somebody goes in and changes the DPI while your app is running, then you can subscribe to that and do the right thing within your application. So anything and everything you needed to know about writing high DPI apps specifically for Windows 8.1, which introduces some new events that you can subscribe to.
Okay, cool. This one is, you know, we've talked about SQLite before. Mm-hmm. So our MS OpenTech team basically provides SQLite, which is a database that you can include in your applications, be it Windows Phone or Windows Store. Mm-hmm. So what they've done now is provided an open source portable class library. So the idea is rather than having one version of a library for Windows Phone, for Windows Store, or even for desktop applications, there's now one portable class library that is the same code in the same library.
Nice, that's great.
That you can use across all three.
I didn't know about that. That's cool.
Yeah, so it's definitely useful. And again, check it out. It's available both in source code and the most useful, of course, is NuGet to be able to reuse it.
Sure, absolutely. That's great. Good stuff. So we've talked about the Visual Studio Rangers in the past, and
yes,
a lot of the great guidance and, you know, kind of toolkits and gap fillers, if you will, that they come out with. This is the third version of their very popular lab management guide. So I'm a huge fan of the lab management capabilities built into TFS and Visual Studio. Lets you set up a build, deploy, test workflow. You can spin up a bunch of virtual machines or push your code out to a set of running physical machines, test it, see what's going on, file bugs automatically. It's a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can imagine, actually doing this in a real world environment and taking into account all the different types of environments and configurations that you as an ISV or an enterprise might need to test for, it really comes down to the devil being in the details. And so the lab management guide is based on, you know, years of experience now of countless folks in our MCS field and our partner community contributing back. And one of the things they do talk about here is how you can start taking advantage of Windows Azure IaaS as your lab management infrastructure. So there's some special considerations there, but the great thing about that is that you get the elastic scale. You can spin up and spin down resources when you don't need them.
So. Yeah, absolutely. You can imagine somebody be like, hey, it's 5 o'clock, let's spin stuff down and any resources where people aren't connected and save a ton of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is awesome. This is awesome. I love this. So Microsoft Research Bing Code Search, C# code snippets on demand. So we're going to play compiler. This is a web page that you're going to go to.
Okay.
Right? And you got a little thing where you can actually type code. You do 3 slashes, and you ask a question. How to download JSON from URLU.
And wait, I'm in Visual Studio here.
No, you're in a...
In
this
the Bing
is a two-pane web page.
Okay, got it.
Two-pane web page. So we're kind of like cutting that part out into here.
Yep.
Right? And you can type whatever you want. How to reverse a string. How to reverse string U. How to download JSON from URLU.
That's
how
awesome.
How to split U using a token.
Right.
You hit tab, the code comes up.
That is
cool. And the code, the code has been updated to automatically show the variable there.
That is amazing.
I love it.
That's really cool. And it's C#. I'm assuming J# support is coming.
J# support, yes, they have. They have actively not talked about
double
that.
Double down in investment. Does this work with Visual Basic or other languages?
I only tried C#.
Okay. But that's cool. That's really, really neat. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so I kept doing a couple of things, trying to stump it, and I couldn't.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then I asked it which one's better, Angelina Jolie or Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston,
I said,
of course.
No. Could not find an answer.
Dang it.
So have fun with this.
She just turned 45. Happy birthday, Jennifer.
So folks, have fun with this, and I want to see if you can actually stump this thing.
Yes, absolutely. That's great. So we've talked in the past about a lot of different ways to visualize .NET code and assemblies, and there's one that's built into Visual Studio. This one I liked because it uses what they're calling this force field simulation, which I don't know if that's a concept that they invented or if it's something that is kind of a known designer phrase.
I'm familiar with force fields.
You are, yeah. These aren't the force fields you're looking for, but this is kind of cool because you can actually visualize in a very lightweight, ad hoc way the various assemblies that you might be trying to inspect. So just another way of taking a look at code dependencies.
This is very cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
I like pretty pictures. So getting started with SignalArm. The reason this tutorial is very cool is because almost every SignalR tutorial is a chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other says, how many people have actually ever built a chat room?
Right.
Like you just count it, like the times you've been asked to. But instead, chances are there's other things that you can use SignalR for, like a long running process where you just have a web page that a user just basically looks at the cursor. Instead of doing that, let's give you a real world example, show you how to get started with SignalR, how you have to set up the JavaScript files, how to get the NuGet packages, and then do server-side progress. So you can actually see what's going on the server and then report back status using SignalR. So it's probably more, maybe not as cool as a chat room or whatever, but mm-hmm. certainly more functional and people want to use it. And then he goes on to actually show reactive programming as well.
Nice. That's so, pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Which brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week! So this one is just a basic article on why Windows uses backslashes and everything else uses forward slashes.
I actually don't know the answer to this. What's the answer?
So the reason is that IBM, when they came out with their stuff, used forward slashes
mm-hmm.
as a parameter. So if you're in DOS
mm-hmm.
and you want to say like dir, then you do slash and say a parameter.
Mm-hmm.
So Unix, on the other hand, uses hyphen. Yep. And in fact, Microsoft technology has jumped. And like if you look at PowerShell, they tend to do hyphen configuration, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the biggest reason why. And because of that, they needed a way to differentiate between paths, like C colon, blah, 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 and just make sure that this wasn't, or that a forward slash wouldn't be considered a parameter.
Got it. Interesting.
So it's little things.
Yeah, little fun trivia there.
Yeah.
And then this is great. I'm sure a lot of people saw that Satya Nadella is our new CEO. What people maybe didn't realize is that Conan O'Brien turned down the job.
Yes.
And so he posts to his LinkedIn profile. He talks about some of the reasons why he would have loved to work for Microsoft, but one of the things that he just understood we probably wouldn't get past the board of directors is changing the entire company to be called Conan, things like that. So he did have to turn down the job because he's kind of a megalomaniac, which I respect. But he talks about how he sent a fruit basket to the board just to let them know, you know, thanks but no thanks. You know, just interesting to think about what could have been.
Yeah, this is funny. This is definitely a funny post.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're certainly thrilled to have Satya Nadella as our new CEO. That's huge news. I got that when I was on my way to Russia last week.
So
it was really cool to see. I think Satya is going to bring a lot of Microsoft experience while also infusing a lot of energy and passion around kind of the future direction of the company around cloud and services and things
mobile.
Like that. Mobile, absolutely. So it'll be exciting to see what pans out.
Yeah, it should be good.
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks.